Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One. This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Raise on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Porcelain Punisher with his old buddy Ray. It's Ace on the House.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday edition of Ace on the Roof or on the House. Thank you for your support. I am here. My name's Ray.
My name's Eric.
How's it going, man?
You know, so darn good.
Good.
What are you doing, man?
Good just checking you. You out.
Yeah, heck yeah, you are.
Checking Matt out, too. Thank you, Matt, for being here.
You got it, buddy.
Kaylin, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
Kaylin, I noticed that you maybe have a new hairstyle as well today, do you?
Not new hairstyle, just took a shower, that's all.
Pool. Oh, yeah. That's called pool.
You actually clean your hair.
I cleaned myself today,
and
yes.
And how does that feel?
It's good. Shiny. It's good, yeah.
Good job. Stand up.
Let me check you out.
What do you got
on?
All
right, sit down.
All right, good job.
Basketball shorts and a black shirt.
Jeez.
That's
nice work,
what everybody
man.
Wears around there.
That's right.
Hey, Matt, uniform. You got flip flops on?
Hell yeah, bro. It's the middle of summer.
Hey, you're
going.
I
wear flip flops every day from like February 19th to.
Are you kidding? I used to wear them year round.
But
yeah,
wait,
pretty much.
You've never had the plantar fasciitis?
I kind of have, actually, yeah.
So I would beware of the sandal unless it has an arch support.
Interesting.
Because otherwise you'll be wearing those big orthopedic shoes.
Nice.
He has
well, I've got flat feet, so it's already my feet are already pretty.
Yeah, you don't
up,
want to
so.
Mess with the plantar.
Yeah,
and if you do, call me because you know you got to stand on the lacrosse ball. And if you can't stand on a lacrosse ball with all your weight on your feet, you got to stand on a lacrosse ball more because that's the test.
Damn,
it you know what's weird? I have a lacrosse ball.
Stand on it.
And for what? Why?
Because
oh, for your arch?
Because yeah, all your whole foot,
oh,
like if you roll
everything?
It from the front to back two times down and back up again in that arch area, it changes your life.
Hmm.
It releases like all the tension in your body. It's fantastic.
I'm gonna have to give it a shot.
Yeah.
Hey, Matt, I used to wear flip flops or thongs year round, and during the monsoon season. Bam, one went off. Boom, down the block. Chasing it.
Yep. Did it blow off?
Chased it. Yeah. No. It's just because it gets stuck in the water, so it's like the vacuum.
Oh, yeah.
Effect, and it just
and
went
it just
there
went.
And it floated down.
No.
Chased it.
You're
down the
kidding.
Down the gutter.
Wow.
Right down. Down the drainage.
Terrible.
Didn't get it back. It was from J. Crew, and it was a green one.
You're still mourning this flip-flop.
I remember it well.
You? Sorry to hear that. Don't be sad.
That's sad.
I know.
It's sad. Hey, thank you for your support. We want to thank you very much. Visit aceontheroof.com. Click through the PayPal button to subscribe. Also, click through our Amazon link. We would appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Twitter, Ace on the House. Facebook, Ace on the House. Follow Ray. That's me at Ray Oldhoff for a follow. Yeah. Eric at Eric Stromer.
There you go.
Rate us 5 stars.
How many?
Because we deserve it. 5.
Yes. Good.
Call 5. Hey, so UPS guy's here. Somebody's got to sign something. I see him lurking around.
Yeah.
He scared the hell out of
hey,
me.
Hey, Maddie, you got a t-shirt on there that's talking about this fine cruise. Let me hear about that. Where are you going?
Oh, sure. Well, this November, if you're not already signed up, go to adamcarolla.com and join us for the second annual Corolla Cruise. This year, we're going to Cozumel, amongst other
wow.
places. Starting off in Miami, Florida. You got probably 95% of the staff's going to be on the boat, including Ray. And I can tell you from the last experience, it was a drunken good time.
So wait, this is the one where Ray will end up with a coconut bra and a ukulele?
No, this is the one where I wind up in jail. This is the one where Ray doesn't make it back.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. You know, we'll come
visit. He's in Cosmo still. I'm leading a dive expedition.
Ooh, that's nice.
I'm not, but it sounds
great,
good.
Great diving there, by the
yeah.
way. Yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't the current really go and just like carries you?
You got to be careful. You need fins when you're snorkeling because it's deceptive. It can take you.
You can get taken away?
Yeah, you make sure you got the ability to swim around a little bit.
I'm a decent swimmer.
I would also buy your own mask that you buy here and use and bring your mask and snorkel. You can rent fins, but bring your own stuff that you've tried out already.
Yeah, because especially
don't want,
stuff that's going in your mouth.
You don't want
and
crappy
all
rental gear that you know doesn't necessarily fit you.
No.
So I would do that.
Well, you got a big dome like me.
I got a good mask I can let you use if you need to.
Look at that. I'm already taken care of.
Yeah. See?
Matt, are you going to bring your lovely wife?
Possibly. We'll see. She was on the last boat. It was a lot of fun.
Where'd you guys go last time?
Ensenada.
Oh, yeah, that's Lobster
City. Did you see the baby
city.
Tigers?
No.
You didn't see that?
Did you
Every
see
time
that?
You get off
did
the
you
port,
see the gal
a baby
with the,
something.
Did you see the gal with the donkey? Oh, wait. Sorry. That's my inside voice.
Yeah.
Eric.
Sorry.
Yeah, hey, this is like Godfather in Cuba time. Watch this. Oh, that was a brutal scene.
Oh, man,
remember
right?
That?
Oh, yeah, of course.
And then when he figured out it was Fredo.
Fredo! How could he?
Yeah.
That guy was also in Deer Hunter, Fredo. Remember him? He played one of the buddies in Deer Hunter. Remember that movie?
His name was starts with a C.
It's John Cazale.
Cazale,
like
yeah.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah,
he was like married to Meryl Streep for a while. Dating her. Yeah, they were together.
Jeez, what are you, Hollywood insider?
He's like amazing actor who's been in like three or four of the most classic movies of all time, and then he died.
What was he in when he was the transvestite?
Yeah, he's also in Dog Day Afternoon.
Or he was,
oh,
yeah, Dog
he was.
Day Afternoon.
You're right. You're right.
Not what do they call it now? It's different. I used the wrong term. Transvestite.
Transgender.
What do you call it?
Transgender?
Yeah, yeah. Remember he played the woman. He was Al Pacino's girl. He was. That was a great movie.
Sure was. Al Pacino. Al Pacino, man. I see him every now and then. He hangs out some of the one of the schools my kids go to.
John Cazale.
That's the one.
Cazale. Cazale.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Can you imagine? I'm sitting in a grade school play, and I look over, and there's Al Pacino watching this.
So this guy appeared in 5 films over a period of 6 years, all of which nominated for Best Picture: Godfather, Conversation, Godfather Part Two, Dog Day Afternoon, and The Deer Hunter.
Yeah, man.
Pretty good.
Good actor.
Pretty good. You
and
know,
he was
I
diagnosed used... with lung cancer and died shortly after completing his role in The Deer Hunter.
Jesus,
so was that 81 or 2?
Yes. He died in 78.
Ooh, that's way too young. I don't even know how old he was, but I'm just saying it's way too young.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, I used to go to these, my friend's kid was in all these plays, you know, the school would throw.
Yeah.
At, pretty prestigious school, Buckley.
Yeah.
You know, local
sure,
school.
I know, yeah.
You know, very, very pricey school.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'd be sitting in there, and who was sitting next to me?
Who?
Warren Beatty.
Get out of here.
Annette Bening. And
get the heck
yeah,
out
and
of here.
And I'd see Shirley MacLaine.
Just watching some kid
like,
in a sheet doing
Duff,
some.
Duff was there from like Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses, yeah. Isn't that
You'd
crazy?
Look around the room and go like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And all their kids are in it. Yeah. George Thorogood.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was great.
And they're doing like Othello.
The kids were fantastic.
Were they really?
I forget what productions I went to. I went to like 3 or 4 of them, but the kids were something else.
Yeah, you start paying. You start looking forward to them. That's
nah,
how good they are.
I didn't
are.
Say that.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm there, if I'm at a high school play and I'm not with
Were you
friends,
ever in a high school play?
No.
Were you ever in any play?
No.
I would love to see you doing some like a rendition of maybe Streetcar.
I could do that.
You think
It's like I was there, man.
There you go.
Right?
Hey, you know what I heard he did there
what?
In that in Streetcar?
Who, Brando?
Yeah.
What?
So he would get in that, you know, he was of that Lee Strasberg kind
yeah,
of thing.
That's right.
He sewed his pockets shut in the front. So he wouldn't put his hands in his pockets or anything like that. And
yeah.
he said it accentuated his package more because that's the type of guy Stanley Kowalski was.
Interesting.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. And here's what you don't know. My pockets are sewed up
right now. I'm touching you soft. Touching you again. Hey, you want to help some people?
Yeah, heck yeah. Who do we got? Andy. I like that name, Andy. Is that a girl,
Andy? Let's hope
so. Andy, I? Andy?
Andy.
Yes.
Hi,
I'm girl Andy.
Hi, Andy. I like you. I like that name.
Thank you. Well, it's more memorable than Andrea, evidently.
Yeah, I guess it is. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Yourself?
Good, good. What's shaking in Phoenix? It's got to be about 500
well,
there, right?
No. It's actually pretty cool today. They're expecting it to be about 101, so better than it has been.
Right.
Wait, didn't it top out at like a buck 25 the other week?
The worst I remember, I got stuck on I-10 on a day that it was 120. That was pretty bad with a 12-year-old air conditioner.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, if the car breaks down and you're out in the middle of nowhere and it's 120, it ain't that great, is
What's
it?
What's the survival rate?
Slim to none.
There you go.
Who saved you? Your husband.
Oh, well, no, actually, the car made it. It's just I've got a 12-year-old Xterra that was my work truck for years, and I can't get rid of it.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, you know, the air conditioner is about shot. So, but the rest of it works.
All right, good. Hey, Phoenix, have you ever been out to the Taliesin West? Wait, isn't that there right outside of Phoenix? Taliesin West?
Actually,
where is that?
No, I just moved here from Germany.
Oh,
girl!
Hey, now you got Ray's attention. That's the dear country of his mother and father.
So you married? Yeah. You're in the service, or your husband is?
My husband is.
Right. How long has he been in for? He's a lifer.
12 years. Yeah, he's hoping to stay in as long as they'll let him.
Is he running stuff? What's he doing?
He works for the. Let's see, what's
classified.
The PML? I can't remember. Professional Measurements Electronics Laboratory or something. They calibrate pretty much anything the military needs calibrated.
Oh, okay, good.
Sounds good. What's your problem, or what do you need help with, Andy?
Well, I'm renovating a kitchen,
besides
and I'm
husband.
Trying to order some cabinets.
Yeah.
Oh, he's fine. I have no problems with him other than I can't get him
so
to put his clothes
say.
In the laundry hamper.
So you're what?
But, I'm redoing my kitchen, and I want to order some cabinets online. And I have a question. The cabinets say they're full overlay, and they've got the new European soft close hinges. But my concern is I want to put a corner Lazy Susan on the bottom next to my stove. And I'm wondering, will I need a spacer in there? Between the stove,
you mean because
and the
of
cabinet.
Heat? Because of heat issues?
Well, I was just wondering about the door not actually opening.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I got a couple of comments on that. The corner Lazy Susan is fantastic if the unit that is turning and the shelving system is really beefy. If it's plastic, then I would stay away from it because they fail. And I've got one in my own house, and I've installed quite a few that ultimately end up like listing to one side because you've got too many big tomato cans there, and it kind of starts to move and bend the whole shelving system, and then it breaks off, and I hate it. So unless you get the top quality metal one that has ball bearings,
you want to get the Hefla.
Yeah, there you go. That's the stuff. The brand is the Hefla.
You want to get it's actually German.
Oh,
Austrian.
Okay.
Yeah. And they make really good hardware.
Yeah, and if you don't, you're just going to be mad in 4 years when you have to take one of the shelves out and just put everything on the bottom shelf because it's listing too much. So anyway, go ahead.
And then
Ray.
You know what? Look up Lazy Susans. They have new ones where they there's a double move to it. You know what I mean? It just doesn't turn around. You can actually pull it out.
Yeah, those are badass.
Oh, nice.
There's different action to it. Because there's a lot of different stuff out there now that's really great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little pricey.
To your point, I have to sit cross-legged down in the corner when I go to that cabinet because I keep a lot of my canned goods down there. And
you're bending.
That's the only
everything.
Way I can get to the Lazy Susan is to sit on the floor, and it sucks. So to Ray's point, get the one that...
Yeah, they're retractable now, and there's a lot of different elements to them. Go online and find... And by the way, the more money you spend on hardware, the better off you are. Really.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
you want to go
here.
And don't skimp on it, yeah.
And you know, it's not necessarily that you want to stay away from Chinese hardware, but like you want to see it and make sure the action's good and see what it's rated for. Like, you know, when you go in a commercial building, like the knob will be rated for X amount of years, like 1 million turns it'll do easy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you want to make sure you have that for your kitchen.
And the soft close stuff is great. And again, your runners and all your sliders and stuff like that, just make sure that they're of the same quality as the stuff that you're going to get for your Lazy Susan. Because the drawer fronts will pull off if it's not the correct drawer assembly and it's not reinforced the right way. You got to make sure the boxes are going to hold screws for your overlay cabinetry. So there's a lot of stuff to really look into.
And Andy, your Lazy Susan, it'll tell you, like, when you order it in the cabinet, it'll tell you what the clearances are. So if you need a spacer or not, it should tell you. Okay. You know, but mind you, I have this was such an effing nightmare. I put this refrigerator against the wall, right? And it was all custom cabinets and everything else. And on the thing, it said there was clearance.
Yeah.
You know, and I even showed the homeowner afterwards.
You mean above, a top? It was a top?
No, it was a side-by-side. A side-by-side refrigerator freezer.
Yeah.
And so the refrigerator door didn't swing all the way open.
Right.
You know, and horrible. to get the drawers out from underneath, you had to take out a shelf now, lift it up, and then pull it out.
Right.
Not my bad, though.
My mother has that same problem in her
A nightmare.
So, Andy, if you're going to have are you having a contractor install all this stuff for you ultimately?
No, I'm cheap, and I'm going to do it myself.
Okay, so have the designer, wherever you're buying your cabinets, guarantee that your clearances for your appliances are all going to work, and if you can't get the refrigerator in the recessed opening, and if you can't open your corner units, then they're liable. Make sure that you say, I know.
Are you going to install these cabinets?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I work on my own car. I've done my own plumbing. I do things because I usually don't have the money to pay someone to do them.
Yeah.
So you're going to do the whole toe kick and everything and then set all your cabinets, make sure that's level, and just plop them on top? Proud of you.
Yep.
I love
it. Get the shims and all of that. Get me some planes. And
We like it. Andy, you might be
you're our new favorite.
Our new favorite right now. don't want you to dry up and die in the desert.
You know what you need to do also, Andy? Fix your air conditioning in your Xterra.
Yep.
Come on now.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You can do it.
Hey, and thank your husband for his service, and we love your work. Good job.
Hey, Andy, don't be shy about sending us some pictures, please.
Yeah. All right, will do.
All right. You be well. Thank you.
Thank you both. You too. Bye-bye.
See you.
Bye now.
Hey, there's Brian in Buffalo.
Hey, Adam Ray, Stromer.
What's up, buddy? What's going on, man?
I was just over at my rental property.
Hold on. Winner! Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
And I got a problem with the kitchen sink where if you turn the water on, like, say, half pressure, it sounds fine. But when you turn on to, like, full blast, you get, like, this tin.
You have a knocking?
Say that again?
You have a knocking.
Yeah, like a knocking sound.
Yeah. That's the unsecured water lines in the wall knocking against the framing, probably.
I just need to put on, like, a support under the copper line, and that should take care of that.
Yes, but
if you
can get to it, and also you got to insulate whatever bracket you're using on the copper with some kind of a felt piece that's not going to, you know, cause that stuff to fuse and create issues with.
And then they also put pressure on the pipe too. And then before you close it up, if you get to it, before you might need a pressure relief valve thing where they put, you know, that anti-knock thing, Eric, that comes up from the pipe and it looks like a little button up there
or
whatever. So that that relieves you, you know, because you might have to do both, dude. Do you understand?
Okay. It's the bottom unit, so I think I might be able to get to it from the basement, hopefully. So.
Yeah.
But you can have somebody run it up top and then feel the pipe, and you can see it shake if you can see it. If you're saying you're going in the basement.
I had it on, and I have the plastic lines, the vinyl lines, and you can feel the one pipe, so I guess I know whether it's hot or cold. And else.
Wait a minute, you're running all PEX in there?
Yeah.
And PEX
right? No, I'm sorry. No, it's not PEX from like the shutoff. The lines are just they're hoses, basically, I should have said.
But
I can feel it on the particular
is it gal or is it copper?
It's copper.
All right, and so when you do your valve where you shut it off, you can hear it from there. You can feel it.
Yeah, I can feel it on like the one particular. Like if I put it, I think it's the cold because when I put it to the cold side. I feel the one line shaking, and then I think when you touch the
builds it goes does that noise?
Yeah, exactly.
And then have you checked your pressure? Do you have a pressure regulator from the water coming from the city into your house?
No, it's like a fucking 100-year-old.
Because that might be the other thing. Too. Yeah, if the pressure from the city is coming in super hot and you don't have a pressure regulator, then you're not only going to blow out your plumbing gaskets and washers and all that kind of stuff, but it would increase the propensity for the rattling because it's coming in.
Would you have that on other fixtures though, or would it just be?
It wouldn't be on the fixture. It'd be for the house.
Yeah, it'd be for the whole house. So then you would have the pressure in the correct amount of PSI so that it wouldn't blow water so quickly into the house and create the vibration in the piping that's not secured to the framing.
When you test for gas, what is it like? It's got to be like, what's the PSI for that? It's like 5? It's really little,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, super little, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because that's got to be low so that there's not dangerous leaks.
But if that was the problem, would I be seeing that same issue other areas?
Well, maybe whoever did your repiping couldn't get access to where they ran that particular line to that particular room. So,
wait,
you know.
Brian, is it a rental?
Yeah, it's like a rental that's just fucking worked over from, you know, 100 different owners in the last, like,
Are you getting complaints from tenants?
Yeah, it's not even like to me it's like a non-issue. I was just over there today and I saw the tweet you guys were taking the call, so I figured give you guys a call, get your
yeah.
Do you have a plumber?
I got my uncle who drives up from Connecticut when we have to get into the bones of the place. So
yeah.
I'm thinking it's probably just a pipe support issue.
Yeah,
which is what I'm gonna try here.
Yeah, and if yes,
and if it's not, then get a plumber.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be that long of a fix, but
I'm just saying this plumbing is like the whole like works was put together. I want to say 5 years ago. If I had like a pressure, like the big issue you guys are talking about, is that something that would have already shown itself?
Well, it may show itself in the fact that you have to continually replace valves or washers, or you have leaking faucets in your kitchen or your bathroom. You know what I mean?
When you turn on the water, is it crazy pressure? Like, does it shoot all over you?
No, it's not that at all. I mean, it's
what about just
normal.
Turning the valve down a little bit?
Yeah, turn the valve down.
And see if that works.
And you know, if it's shaking around and the tenant keeps complaining, just tell them you're on it. And then, you know, like most landlords,
it's
never doing it.
6 months, yeah. I got it.
That's what you've been doing anyway.
That's what you've been doing here. Yeah,
just
that's right.
Show up and like wave to them and go like, go, I'm working
hey,
on it.
Hey, my wife made some muffins. Anyway, we'll see you. Good luck. You do that.
Sorry.
It's a good sentence over there, man. I got this guy doing the grass. They shovel everything. So
well, if he's
like,
good, then have him fix the plumbing.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not that good.
If you have a good tenant, don't screw it up. Make sure you fix it. That's my point.
Yeah. If you want to keep him, then you fix it.
Yeah.
All right. Good luck.
Good luck, buddy.
All right. Thanks, Chad.
Yeah.
Brian out. For Eric. Jim.
Jimmy.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I have a bit of an unusual and short question.
Yeah.
Flathead screws, why?
I hate it.
They seem to
just
be...
Just slotted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, just why? I mean, you can't put them in with a regular screwdriver without it sliding off of the screw at least a couple of times. Forget trying to use any sort of power... a screwdriver or drill with them. Is this some sort of like lobbying effort, like big flathead screw coming to Home Depot?
Exactly.
I think it's more of an aesthetic, especially with the brass, like the old schooly stuff, you know, because it means age. That's what it means.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But are we all with you and do they all, you know, is it horrible to work with? Yeah, too bad.
No, I agree with you. And I think to Ray's point, it's like, you know, it harkens back to a time in terms of like furniture building when other screw heads didn't exist. So I think a lot of times it's an aesthetic thing to kind of match or have the feel of an old style of, you know, situation. And wood screws oftentimes are slotted for some reason. I hate it. I understand. I know your pain. I actually don't even like Phillips head. I like the star key screws, which are just incredible to drive like 3-inch screws into
the T25 and the T20.
And they never strip, and the screw will break before the head will strip. But I understand. It's like big pharma. It's big flathead screw industry lobbying the government. I hear you, man. I get it.
I'm with you too. I mean, but like Eric's saying, those T drives are amazing. The torque drives, they'll go through anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, it never skips around.
Yeah.
Never.
Never.
You don't strip anything out.
I agree.
Get off the phone, bro.
I'm trying to find out if there's a real reason why there are slot head screws. Can you, Matt, do you have the ability to research that for me?
Sure, we'll look into it.
I think the Phillips was dude worked for Howard Hughes, I think.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was a plane guy, so he could, like, work upside down. See, and then the screw would stay on.
Oh,
hence the X.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
I'm acting. Oh, look, I'm in a play now. See,
yeah,
I am.
Yeah,
in a play.
You're like Brando with the sewed pockets. The sewed pockets in the big package. That's right. Hey, who do we have next? What do we got?
Kirky,
40. Hey, hi, Kirk. What's up?
Going good. Let me get you up. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm working around the house today.
Good.
I do have an answer for you on the slotted screws.
Yeah, what do you got?
They're the cheapest to make, and then on soft screws like brass, you don't want to have that kind of torque because you will just strip them
out.
You
will, yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
That makes sense.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I was half right.
Yeah.
Yeah, about the only place you really see them in hardened screws is like electrical, because then it's appearance-wise, a slot disappears easier than a Phillips, you know, like a switch plate cover.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, that's an aesthetic.
Yeah,
then.
It's aesthetic, yeah. But, yeah, in terms
otherwise,
of the brass.
Otherwise, it's just because they can't, yeah, the brass.
It's aesthetic, and it's also four turns.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
It.
Yeah.
What's
but anyway, what I wanted to ask was, people have been calling in the last few weeks and kind of getting on Ray, and I think there are people that don't understand how subs work, and Ray, I would hire you to work as one of my subs anywhere.
Thank you.
I've heard enough about
that.
What you do. I think you're just from hearing you here, I know that you'd be better than half my subs. So we got to talking to some friends the other day and talking about who the crappiest subs are. And
crappiest meaning like as far as mess or something like that?
Just, no, as far as who you don't want or who's sketchiest.
Yeah.
And like we talked about roofers. Funny enough, are at the bottom of that ladder. Even though they're on the top of the ladder, they're at the bottom of the ladder of subs. I used to know a guy that ran a big box store. He said the most stolen item was the little 5-packs of razor blades that the roofers use.
With the hook on it.
Because they're all it takes is a hammer and a razor knife to be a roofer.
Right.
And so the guys that can't keep their crap together, that's who becomes roofers.
Hey, yeah, the East Wing has that hammer with the blade on it. Which is pretty
bitching.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know what else? To your point, I think that because out of sight, out of mind is such a huge part of roofing that, you know, a lot of people can't go up and check what the person has done in terms of the integrity of the work. So I think
exactly. You
can get away with screwing people over more and being half-assed on a roof than anywhere else.
You know, another thing roofers do, which I've noticed, my roofer even, I won't mention his name. John. I'm kidding.
Sorry.
It's not John. Anyway, his pop on the job, watching his dad work, commercial building, right?
Yeah.
Watching his dad, whole crew there, 5-6 guys. Dad would meander down to the truck all the time. And what does he have in the truck?
Little
bottle
sauce.
Of tequila.
Bottle of sauce. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like bizarre.
A lot of drunken roofers. But I will say, if you do get a good one, which I have a good one now that is, I just love, it blew my mind. He came off the roof. I went up and checked everything out, and it was literally textbook, and I wanted to, like, hug him and give him sandwiches. It was fucking amazing how good it was.
That's great when you can find them. There are good ones.
There are, but
bad ones.
You're right. Who would be the second worst sub, in your opinion, Kirk?
Second worst sub, I would say probably framers is the lowest end.
Yeah.
No, I'd say brick and block guys. I'd say concrete guys too.
Ooh, I'd give you that. I'm not
you
crazy
know what
about
I mean?
My concrete
I've seen,
guys, but I haven't done much brick and block.
Yeah. I have seen finishers on the ground with their board, with doing rosettes or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
And then in the other pocket, they're michelada.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, dude, we can't do this here because my customer is home. Can you wait till after the pour? I don't care what you do after the job. You can even drink at the job if you're off hours. You know what I mean? If you're done.
Listen to
I
this.
I don't like the idea of guys drinking on the job. It drives me nuts.
I hear you. That's terrible. But let me tell you this. So it may be painters too, because last week I had a bunch of guys working on a job for me, and the guy came to my partner and passed back a $100 bill that had been altered and kind of frayed, and the bank clearly wouldn't take it. And he said to my partner, you know, Eric gave me this $100 bill and no one will take it, right? I looked at the bill yesterday and it had been altered by somebody. So it was,
yeah.
And so we called the guy back up and he said, no, you know, Eric gave me this $100 and it doesn't work, right? But my bank has one of those machines where
it passes out
the money, not the teller, right? So it almost felt like it was a hustle, like he was flipping bad currency back to me. So currently,
he was.
Currently, painters are on my shit list. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, that runs.
Did you give him the money? Did you give him another bill?
No, hell no.
Good.
And I think we're out $100. Anyway, go ahead. What were you going to say, Kirk?
Any sub that can work by themselves is also a problem, like painters, because you get the guys that can't keep a job working for somebody else.
Right.
They can't, you know, like to Ray's point, Ray has guys that work for him.
Right.
How bad can you be
right.
if you've got guys that work for you?
Right.
And so, yeah, painters are a guy that, well, you can't get a job anywhere else. You can hang out a shingle saying you're a painter.
That's interesting. You're right.
Second worst is a guy that's solo except for his cousins.
Yeah.
Hey, the other thing, when you working alone sucks.
It does suck.
Yeah.
You know, it's lonely as all get out.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're with your thoughts. You contemplate suicide.
Yeah.
It's the worst working alone.
That's right.
Especially doing hard work alone.
Yeah.
Like, I want my guys, and then guess what? I want to hand it off.
Well, you know,
part
of what makes this bearable is the feeling of a team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And everybody's got a common and unified goal to get the thing done from point A to point B. There's something, you know, I don't care who you are, where you come from. There's a feeling of this unified, like we're all going to get this job done by Friday kind of a feeling.
Sure.
And that brings people together, right?
Yeah.
If you're by yourself, there's a lot of meandering, to your point.
But also, Kirk, when you're by yourself, when you're doing bids, you're running around getting materials or whatever, you're by yourself a lot if you're like running some show. And it can get, you know, it's rather hectic.
Yeah.
And
believe me, I know.
Boring.
Yeah.
You know. I hate construction.
But you've got to have it together to have a crew. You've got to have your stuff together
to possess
a crew.
Yeah,
make
it.
If you're working a job without a crew.
Or you can lose money.
Yeah.
That's always easy to do.
I have to bring in one other trade that drives me crazy, but they're invaluable and I love them to death. But electricians, they leave their fucking clippings everywhere and they never clean up anything, and I want to kill myself. But they're but obviously, you know, invaluable work, clearly.
Hey, I love it when the plumber electrician has to get the auger out, and you can tell, you just watch them because you know they're going to get torqued.
Yeah.
It's like, go ahead. I want to see you go through this. Bam! You know, hits
his head. The right angle drill. Yeah.
But the auger.
Yeah, man.
And it has so much torque and power, and it's like, I know something's going to
happen. Have you ever done that when you're mixing mud with a three-quarter drill and you lose the, like, there's too much resistance in the things and the bucket and the drill turns
spinning,
and rip the cord around the paddle blade?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, it's always fun.
Fun times.
I had a buddy that was left-handed and had a Hitachi half-inch pull out of his hand, came around because he was left-handed. It pulled out, came around, and shattered his wrist in five places.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I can imagine.
Never run a hammer drill with a left hand.
No, that's right. That's
news. My hand got, I got caught. Hey, Kirk, nice talking to you. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
See you, bud.
I got caught. I had a 3/8 roto hammer.
Yeah.
Right, bit. It was like 16 inches long. I was trying to get around a gas pipe.
Yeah.
And whenever I use a roto hammer, I never have gloves on. I had gloves on this time.
Oh, no.
Got caught.
Yeah.
Rolled up.
No.
Whole hand went backwards.
No.
Had a respirator on. I went,
oh, my God.
I thought I broke my hand. Didn't break it.
Nothing happened.
Nothing. No.
Tweaked it.
Tweaked it, but I couldn't even, you know, make a fist for like 2 weeks. But you know,
it
hurt the
I don't wear gloves ever. I don't trust them, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
if it gets caught in a drill, like a
flannel shirt, I don't wear that shit either because I've had that stuff catch in drill motors and stuff, and
not fun,
not good,
not good for you.
No,
Matt.
Speaking of flannel, what's going on?
Yeah,
he is a flannel.
Head to toe in flannel today.
Yeah, you're.
All right, let's do a video question. We got a video question from someone named Quinn. And as a reminder, please email us aceonthehouse@adamcarolla.com. Include your video questions.
Yeah.
Go to aceontheroof.com to see him. All right, here's Quinn.
Hey, Ace Rayer Stromer. I'm up here in Ontario, Canada, and I have this sill on my kitchen window, and it's all coming apart. And I'm pretty good with being pretty handy around the house. I'm just wondering your advice on how I should patch this or fix it or what I should do, if I should build a box around it. I know I got to keep a slope. But, if you could help me out with that, that'd be great. You can see it's coming apart. The pieces are coming out. Sorry, bud. You okay?
Look, he just blinded his son. Oh, no.
Now his kid's going to participate. So anyways,
if you can give me a hand, that'd be great. Thanks, boys.
It looks like cast concrete, right?
Yeah. Pre-cast pieces where they sectioned them in, right? What is that, like acrylic grout joint of some sort?
No, he did. That's a patch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and why is it doing that? Is there movement, or did they replace a window and screw it up? Maybe they did that. Look at the window. It looks kind of newish.
I think he dropped something on one, and then where the joint is, what you have is like you have two pieces of precast sill, and that looks like, is that a wood window, Eric? It is, right?
Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah.
You could pry that out. You could cut it with a angle grinder and a
diamond blade,
yeah, and get underneath it and then just bust that piece out slowly, and then pull it and then get that cast stone. But first make sure you can get the cast stone. I should say that. Or you're going to have to put a wood sill in.
Or you can build
a form. You can pour one in place.
Yeah, you could build a form and put a piece of 3/4 ply underneath the sill and box it in with 2x4s going down to the ground and, shove the 2/3 up under it and then box a right angle on the face of it.
You don't even have to you can do on the top of it, just pitch it a little bit.
Yeah, pitch it a little bit and then just pour,
do it yourself.
Yeah, some kind of a quick patch in there. That would work. Even like self-leveling that was, if it was boxed out enough.
I just use, it's going to be 2 inches, 2.5 inches, so use concrete.
Yeah, just
it'll
use
be stronger,
concrete.
And then throw even some steel in it.
And then bust off the plywood maybe a little before it's cured so you can alter it slightly if you need to, shape it. It's almost
so
like
you can finish it.
It's
it
almost
finishing.
Like floating a shower curb. You know, it's the same kind
thing.
Of. It's lime and cement, so it's sticky enough. You could even do it freehand if you went that route.
Oh, I don't think he could.
No, maybe not.
But I like your idea of a form. So form it out, pour it.
Yeah.
And then with the form, do form oil so you can pull it off before
there
it's totally
dry.
That's
critical. Yeah.
And then clean it up.
Yeah.
You know,
that might work.
That would work.
I think it's too
and
much.
And let your kid help you.
Yeah, and put
and he's got a ruffled brick there, too.
Put safety glasses on.
Yeah. Be careful with. And then it's been leaking, Eric. See the efflorescence underneath there?
Yeah.
So that crack. Yeah, I'd get rid of that and pour a new one. Why not? I mean, the one's gone. Unless you can find a matcher, because only the one on the right side is messed up.
But is it a individual piece that was then
grouted?
Yeah, I don't understand what they did. Like, is that a? Did they patch the crack, and that's why it's doing that?
Or I think it's two pieces, and then it broke. I think it's two pieces, and then what happened was, he's in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
So, and then with the thaw and
freeze thaw,
it cracked there at the joint, and then he filled it with acrylic.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
And then I think it's spalling also because of the. I don't know why it's spalling, but it looks like he dropped something there.
Doesn't it? Yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Something like hit it.
Or when they were installing the window, they screwed it up and never fixed it right.
And said, let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here and get our money.
That's my move.
That's, yeah.
No, it's not. It's your move. It's my move. You gotta go back to work today, boy.
Yeah, I do. I know.
Matt, we took care of him. He's good. The kid's cute, too.
We got one more email question before we head out.
Okay.
All right, so this is an email from someone named Matt.
By the way, what mountain is that, Eric, that we stare at all the time that neither of us ever...
Isn't that Jackson Hole?
Where is that?
Wyoming? I think it's Jackson Hole.
You guys don't know?
It's literally a default backdrop on a Mac computer.
I know it is, but I think it... Is it Jackson Hole, Wyoming? I think it is.
Kalen, go ahead and look that up. Yeah. In the meantime, let's do a...
You're supposed to be able to see a Native American chief's face as if he were laying down in the Jackson Hole mountain range. The Grand Tetons, they're called. I think that's what it is.
Sweet.
But let me know.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll take a look at it. In the meantime, here's an email question. Hey, guys, I recently finished updating our kitchen, and I need a professional's opinion on one last detail. We have a slate dry stacked backsplash. As you can see, the stones are various size and thickness. When installing the backsplash, I did my best to use stones with similar thicknesses around the outlets so that the switch plate covers would mount as flush as possible. As you can see, I had varying success. My original plan was to take my Dremel tool with a small carbide bit and pocket the thicker stones so that the switch plate covers will mount flush or at least eliminate some of the gap between the plate and tile. I installed the box extenders and dry fit my covers last weekend. After looking at it for a week, I'm starting to consider leaving it as is. There's so much texture and irregularity on the dry stack stone that it kind of blends in, but I'm not completely convinced. So what do you guys think? Leave it as is or grind down the higher stones? Or I'm open to other ideas too. Thanks.
Here's what I would do. I would leave it as is and I would get your switch is different, like a brown
an umber
color.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking,
because it
too
disappears, and you don't have to mess around with it. You could grout around the switch to then get the cracks out, but don't bother grinding the stone. It's the white switches that pop, and that's what makes you notice it in the first place.
And you have Decora, and then you have the standard. Then you have a toggle next to a Decora, which is weird.
Yeah.
And all that will disappear if you use umber or black.
There you go. I would do that.
And that's
and,
Eric's
and experiment
right
with umber and black and see which one disappears on the wall. But, you know,
I love the umber versus the black.
I did too.
It's just cool, right?
Yeah, it is cool. And it'll go away. You won't notice it ever again.
But good job, too.
Yeah.
I don't know about – it's a little too dark for me for a kitchen, but I get it.
Yeah.
And you did a nice job.
Yeah, that's a hell of a job. Good work, man. But
and he's got slate switch plates.
Yeah.
Those are slate.
I wonder, did he?
No, I think you can buy those.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Get rid of the white.
Yeah, get rid of the white. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We're in Kahoot. You know what's funny?
Yeah.
You were saying that, and then when you go get different
there
switches,
you go.
I was like.
And that's when you sang in your head the song. Ebony, ivory,
we're
together, da, da.
It's like we got it. And I was thinking the same exact thing. I go, why is it, you know, such a shiner?
I know.
Great
minds, boys, great minds.
And with that.
Speaking of which, Maddie, Kalen, thank you.
Very, very much.
It was our pleasure.
Yeah. And don't forget to thank you for supporting our show. Visit aceontheroof.com. Click the PayPal button to subscribe. Click through the Amazon link. Twitter at aceontthehouse. Facebook.com/aceontthehouse. Follow Raymond at Ray Oldhoffer. Follow Eric at Eric Stromer. Rate us 5 stars on the iTunes, people.
One breath, people.
Hold on. Do you have the answer to the, Kalen?
That mountain is Lone Pine Peak.
Ah, for God's
That's
sakes.
The mountain that we
Where
were
Where is at? That?
Where is that?
Lone Pine's on the way up to Mammoth.
Okay. I've
All
been
right.
there.
It's just on the you pass Lone Pine, then you pass Bishop. And
so my whole theory of Jackson Hole is wrong. The Grand Tetons is absolutely wrong and false.
It turns out it was.
Whatever.
Lone Pine, dude.
I think Lone Pine's where Mount Whitney's located.
I've climbed Mount Whitney in one day and I had altitude sickness and almost pissed myself.
Yeah.
Not fun.
But remnants of Mexico. Bye now.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells. Amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience.
Hmm.
Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.